Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Hey friends, welcome back to Parenting Uncovered. Dave and Ashley Willis here. We're so glad you're here. We're recording where we normally record from marriage capital of the world in South Lake Texas. At the EXO Marriage Headquarters. And we don't always give this plug, but if you're ever in the neighborhood, the Dallas-Fort Worth area, come on by to the EXO Marriage Headquarters, and you can see where these parenting and marriage resources are created. Get you a cup of coffee or a latte from the EXO Press.
It's amazing.
And see this building that the faith and prayers and generosity of so many people made possible. And if you ever want to join us in partnership to really help this ministry move forward, it takes all of us working together. It's donations from people all over the world that make this ministry possible. And if you'd be interested in making a tax-deductible gift to the ministry, you can go to xomarriage.com and click on the Give button right there at the top of the page. And we just, we appreciate you. And we appreciate you listening. We've got a great topic today, an important topic. It's about bullying. And bullying has been a crisis since really the beginning of the world. I think that, from nation to nation, person to person, there's just been a lot of bullying. And it's one of the toughest things to navigate in parenting, especially in this cyber world we're living in, where it's not always just, bullies in a schoolyard, but it's the much more difficult to police, bullying that can happen online. Mm-hmm. And we just want to talk about it. So, sweetie, bullying.
Oh, man, let me tell you, I think I hear the word bullying and I automatically get angry.
Yeah.
And this is, I get angry for anyone, who would bully our children, seeing someone bully, but also even the thought of our children becoming a bully, like both sides of it. You know what I'm saying? I think all of us parents can agree, like, we don't want that for our children.
Yeah.
And I remember when our oldest was, I believe in second grade, he came home and he was like, there's this kid and he just keeps on being mean to me. And we're like, well, what do you mean to me? And he's like, well, he says mean things to me about my height. And we're like, and we all of us Willises, for the most part, except for Connor, he has grown a lot.
Yeah, we're kind
we're
of like
the shorter
a Hobbit
side.
Shire. It's like none
we're
of us
not
are
that short, but,
super.
But we're on the shorter side.
I will say, speaking of Lord of the Rings, not to derail this, but Lord of the Rings has, lots of different mythical characters and stuff. And
yes.
And Ashley one time was watching it, and she said this to me as what she thought was a compliment. I think this is bullying. You tell me.
Oh, my
gosh.
She
said, if you were in Lord of the Rings, I think you would have been one of the dwarfs. She said it thinking it was a compliment.
Because,
and I said, there
okay,
are
our team is
actual
laughing hysterically.
Men,
like, what in the
like
world?
Like, regular man is an, option
an option
in Lord of the Rings. Half of the characters are regular men, not hobbits, not dwarfs, regular men. And that wasn't what she went to. She wasn't like, you're a man here, you'd be a man in that world. No, I would be a dwarf because apparently I'm hairy and...
No, it wasn't. Actually, the hobbits are a little bit hairier, but...
The dwarfs have the... Hobbits have like hairy feet.
Hairy feet, that's true.
Dwarfs have the hair, massive beards, body hair.
You can't grow a beard.
And...
I mean, you have grown one, sort of.
You know,
but
now,
like,
now you're
it wasn't
personal.
The beard, okay? It's because they are the warriors, okay? Like, the dwarves are fierce. That's where I was coming from. I'm like, you are such a strong man. And, like,
see,
really, I mean, he's a black belt.
Listeners.
I'm like,
is
I don't know,
she
if,
meant
my,
it
I don't
as
know
a
if I've thought about
apparently.
Man as an option.
But half the characters are men. Aragorn, man. You know, like.
Well, you're way better than Aragorn, okay? Like, I just was on that wavelength of, like, strength. But let me, okay, back to bullying. So this kid was, kind of making fun of Cooper's height or whatever. And so I was, at first, bullying, like, a kid being mean is not necessarily bullying. I feel like in order to talk about bullying, we kind of need to say, well, what is it, right? I feel like, and this can vary from school system to school system, family to family, but in my opinion, and kind of in my experience too as a teacher, you know, I used to teach middle school, bullying is when it's kind of like someone who keeps on making fun, giving a harder time to a kid, and, you know, purposely trying to make their life miserable and just targeting them. It's a targeting, right?
Yeah.
And it's usually over a duration of time. And what that duration of time is, I think, varies in the severity, you know, based on the severity of those incidents. And so with Cooper, at first he comes home, I'm like, well, that's not good. Let's talk about that. How can we handle that? You know, that is mean. I'm so sorry that kid did that to you. How do we handle this? But then he kept on coming back, and it was like week after week. It went on for, I would say, several weeks, where this kid every day was targeting
child. It was targeted. It was intentional, consistent.
Yeah.
That he was, and they're kids.
Right. They're second graders.
They're second graders. And so you can just dismiss it. But at the time, when you were in second grade, like I remember being
it's
in second grade.
Yeah.
And if there's somebody trying to make your life terrible, your life feels terrible.
Right.
As a second grader. So we can't just dismiss it as, oh, that's just kids being kids. If a kid's being targeted at any age, or an adult for that matter, mm-hmm. You know, we need to stand up and say something. And Cooper, he was being targeted. It was clear.
Right.
It was consistent. This kid was just, you know, he was bigger, and
he was taking balls from him on the playground.
Just intentionally
using
daily
mean words,
picking on him. And the teacher, we talked to the teachers.
Well, we talked to Cooper first.
Talked to Cooper first.
That was the first line, is like, Cooper, here's what you can do.
We even had an opportunity to talk to the parents.
We did.
Surprisingly, Cooper got invited to this kid's birthday party.
Mm-hmm.
And there was an RSVP.
There was a policy in the school that you had to invite the entire class.
Right. So I called the mom, answered the phone. I called the number on there, and I was like, hey, thank you for the invitation. And I said, listen, Cooper's not going to go,
mm-hmm.
But I want to explain why. I'm actually glad that we got this invitation. I said, listen, I believe your kid's a good kid. They're just kids, but there's been a pattern of what, I mean, I would frankly call bullying,
mm-hmm.
That I'd encourage you to talk to your son about. And I kind of just tried to give a few quick examples. And I thought that it would lead to, I mean, I was very calm. I was very rational. I thought it would lead to just a productive conversation. I mean, I was not calling her kid names or being threatening or anything. I was like, here's what's going on. And mm-hmm. she could not get off the phone fast enough. I mean, she did
almost
not,
hung up on you.
Yeah, I mean it was, I was kind of taken back by just how abruptly the call ended. And so I thought, well, maybe this kid, maybe it's one of these situations where, you know, parents don't want to see any wrong in their own child, and they're just going to close their eyes to anything that their baby does that's wrong. I don't know what it was, but I thought, okay, well.
Or we thought maybe she's embarrassed and she doesn't know what to say.
But the parents clearly aren't going to probably correct this.
Well, at the time, we did think that. We were like, oh, this isn't good. She practically hung up. But then I was like, let's give her the benefit of the doubt. We don't know this family.
Yeah, maybe she's going
to talk
to him.
Maybe she's angry. And she's like, I'm going to go talk to him.
And it's going to be different.
Exactly.
And so we waited for that, and it wasn't different.
No, in fact, I think there was an uptick in this. And then, this is the irony of it, Cooper ends up on a flag football team, like a local flag football little team with these second graders with this kid. And then we get to watch how the parents interact with the kid on the field. And what I realized is there was a mentality of, well, the survival of the fittest. Like, you know, you just go and take what's yours, and like, sorry, your kid's, you know, weak. Like, it was that kind of thing. And it was like, I just saw, well, this is maybe allowed, you know, maybe it's like considered a strength.
And so what we did, and you know, I got zero regrets about this.
We went to the teacher though first.
We went to the teacher. Yeah. That didn't really go anywhere.
No.
So we told Cooper, I'm like, listen, like this is, there are jerks in life, and we've got to do our best to live at peace with everyone, but we're not called to be doormats.
And we've done everything up to this point.
We've done everything we can to live at peace with someone, and that person just continues to not let you live at peace with mm-hmm. them. They won't even let you avoid them. I said, then you've got to stand up to them. I like, that's and you're going to have to defend yourself here. And I said, you're going to have to let him know that he cannot treat you
like
that way.
Like, this is not okay.
And,
you know.
And I think, you know, you might think like, oh man, that's a lot to put on a kid. I think that when we've tried everything else and he saw that we had his back, we were doing the things that we could do, that there comes a time sometimes in life when you've got to stand up to the bully.
Mm-hmm.
And so the next day on the playground, I didn't tell him what to do. I didn't say go punch him. I didn't say anything like that. I said, you're going to have to stand up for yourself and let him know. You're not going to stand for that. And he started like kind of like mouthing off. And Cooper, who was short, yes, but strong, low center of gravity.
Yes.
He took off running toward this kid like a raging bull. And the kid was like kind of looking around, looking the other way. And Cooper like extended both arms at a full run and pushed him down. That kid like left the ground and landed on his butt. And
a teacher nearby saw.
Yeah,
and saw she it. Turned a blind eye.
And she looked the other way, told us
because
later.
Because
she saw that kid picking on Cooper over and over. And she kind of snickered that the bully had been put on his butt finally. But I'll tell you, that's the last day the kid ever picked on Cooper.
Again.
And I know in this era of like, you know, gentle parenting and everything else.
Honey, listen. We've talked about in previous, gentle parenting is not the devil.
No,
okay?
No, it's not the
it
devil.
It is one way
but
to parent.
I think that we live in a world that it's, okay.
It is a way.
It's a way.
And it has very good tenets to it.
Especially though, the way that we're raising our young men, I think that we're raising them sometimes to be so averse to any form of conflict, any sort of physical protection, that we're stripping the masculinity and the dignity out of them to the point where they feel, because there's this false doctrine out in the world that masculinity, all masculinity is toxic.
Right, right.
Or that all forms of strength are dangerous. Mm-hmm. Instead of saying, no, like God created men to be strong, to be defenders, to even be dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
But that needs to be honed and trained to be able to protect the things that matter, our families. If you're not dangerous, then you're not able to protect your family. You're not able to protect yourself, and you're not able to protect others when you see injustice. And we have to raise, you know, especially those who are, I believe, raising boys. I don't have any experience in raising girls. I know you can talk about, you've been bullied as a girl,
I
want you to talk about that.
I will.
But I don't think we should raise our kids ever to become the bullies, ever.
No. Right.
But, you know, in a movie I saw that it made this distinction that dad was trying to teach his son. He said there are kind of three kinds of people, like the wolves, the sheep, and the sheepdogs. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the wolves are the bullies that are just trying to attack. The sheep are the helpless ones that are just being attacked. He said, but we're called to be the sheepdogs, the protectors.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, we're looking out for
injustice.
We're not trying to attack anybody. But when the wolves move in,
mm-hmm.
we have to be a line of defense. We need to raise our sons, I think, with that kind of mentality.
Girls, I mean, we have to defend ourselves,
of course.
Too.
Girls have to defend themselves, too.
And defending yourself is not always physical.
It doesn't mean, right, but in the language of boyhood especially, physical is what they understand at that level.
True.
At that
true.
Age especially.
Well, and that kid was attacking his physical
stature. Physical. It was like the attacks were about physical stuff. The attacks became kind of physical, like trying to play rough.
Yeah, he was.
On the playground. And that's the only language this kid knew. And I'm convinced it's the only thing that would have stopped it was a physical response. And you can write me and be like, oh my gosh, that's barbaric. And you know what? I'm not the one who created human nature, you know. We're trying to navigate it.
Yeah.
But
it's delicate too.
And it's delicate because, you know,
I will say what we've just told you.
Because we talk about Jesus being, you know, meek and mild, which he was, but we also don't talk about him flipping over tables and getting a bullwhip and chasing people out with it. So yeah, there are multiple sides even to Christ himself, the perfect one who never sinned, who is our example in all things. But he was strong. I mean, he was strong enough to, like, by himself, scare a whole marketplace full of people who were there with false motives.
Right.
So
that needed more than words.
They needed more than words.
Right.
You know,
sometimes the
he talked about turning the other cheek.
Do it.
But he also, you know, chased people with bullwhips.
Yeah.
So, like, I think that there's sometimes a place for both. And I think that we got to be careful when we err on one of those extremes. The people
mm-hmm.
that are just
oh, yes.
that turn the other cheek. it's like that. Well, yeah, that's not the whole story. That's not the whole example Jesus set for us. Mm-hmm. I think it's a reminder that we need to go out of our way to be peacemakers.
Yes.
But when it's time to flip tables,
right?
You better flip them hard and
exactly
and
pointedly and pointedly. Strategically.
Yeah.
And I think with Cooper, you know, we just told you a snapshot in a few minutes about this thing with Cooper, but this was over a duration of time. This wasn't like a quick decision. We were praying about this. We were really praying.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
When we got that invitation to that kid's party, I literally was like, well, this is God opening a door to deal with the parent, because we really struggled. He's our firstborn. So we were like, how do we handle this? And this is really the biblical way to handle confrontation.
We weren't going to put him in the environment. We're like, oh, maybe this kid had made clear that whenever Cooper was around, he was going to be the one picked on. So I wasn't
going to send him to the party
in that environment.
Yeah. But we had a phone number.
Yeah.
We were like, right, now we have a phone
here's
number.
Here's an opportunity to talk.
And we didn't want to go to the teacher first, because if I was, you know, if our kid was bullying someone, I would want to know, like, first, so
totally.
We could handle it at home. And we were like, you know,
and
if
we
this doesn't
very
work,
swiftly and seriously. I mean,
yes. And then we were like, okay, well, this isn't handled at home. Now we go to the teacher, and the teacher tried her best. But again, if the parents aren't going to handle it, what can the teacher do? You know what I'm saying? And then you could go to the principal. But again, if the parents aren't going to handle it, what do you do? And so it took Cooper, you know, shoving that kid and him realizing it. And do you know, years later, you know, fast forward many years, 10 years at least, you know, you get to senior year, I asked Cooper, I said, how is that kid now? What's he like? And he goes, you know what, Mom? He actually turned out to be a really nice kid.
Yeah.
And I told him, I said, Cooper, make no mistake that you standing up to him as a bully improved this kid. Because sometimes we need to be thrown on our butts to know, like, we can't do that. You know what I'm saying? And I mean, that's the Kentucky coming out in me. But like, seriously, like, sometimes it's like we need to be, like, whether physically or like,
it's a wake up call.
Emotionally,
like, okay,
just like have a wake up call, you know? And I will say this too. I want to talk about, like, how do we, and I'm going to talk about my girl, kind of like what happened with me from like how girls sometimes bully each other. But, you know, I think sometimes.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Times we always assume, like, well, our kid can never be a bully. They're just going to be bullied. How do we handle that? And we just talked about that. But what about if our kid's the bully, you know? And I would say you may not hear about that, but how you can, you know, clue into that if they have siblings is the first place they're going to bully is their sibling.
Yeah.
And let me tell you,
I want to make sure though that before this episode ends, you tell your bullying story from middle school, because it's just a great story. And we've talked all about boys this whole time, and I just want to make sure. But yes, when your kid is the bully.
Yes. And I think that if you're not sure, you know, you can, because I do think that it can be very subtle, you know what I'm saying? And they can hide it well, be very crafty about it. And I want to say this too. I think it is our sin nature when our kids are being bullied, obviously, but it also is usually a deeper issue where they feel insecure. I mean, the bully is the most insecure person in the room.
Often.
Why do you think they're bullying? They're bullying to make themselves have some kind of power or control, and trying to keep someone else down because they feel insignificant, because they want to feel bigger and better than somebody else. And so, you know, I think that it's so important for us, that those of us who have multiple kids, or even if you have one child, you know, and they have cousins, like, watch your children around their family members, whether it's siblings or cousins, or maybe very close friends of yours that have children. Watch how they act around them, because that's going to be the first place they try to be a bully, if they're feeling that insignificance inside of them. And I know there's been times where our own children have tried to bully each other. And we have been so quick to shut that down.
For sure.
I mean, so quick. In fact, I thought it was really interesting. The other night, one of our kids, out of being silly, was filming, like, you know, the younger one. And he was being kind of a bully to him. He was like kind of egging him on and this and that. And I saw the video, since we share an Apple ID, I saw the video footage. And oh my goodness, once I saw it, I went right up to him and I just showed the video to him. And I said, tell me what's going on here. And he looked at me and he goes, we're just playing around. I said, does this look like playing around? I'm like, he's crying. you know, he's not liking this playing around.
Yeah.
And I was like, you know, he ended up having a consequence. I was like, you're not having, you know, your yeah. privileges are taken away because this is not good. And he got the message, but we had to shut it down.
It's not always the older one. Sometimes the youngest one.
Oh, for sure.
Will, like, kind of really just pick, and then play the baby card.
Oh, yeah.
To try to, like, get away with it. One dynamic, too, I think we need to be mindful of is sometimes, and this is a marriage challenge, sometimes kids pick up bullying tendencies by seeing the way you and your spouse treat each other.
For sure.
If there is one dominant spouse, mm-hmm. it could be the wife, it could be the husband, but one dominant personality that's barking orders, that's being critical, mm-hmm. that it's name-calling, or maybe you're doing that to each other, though, you know, usually there's kind of one that is the one with the dominant personality that's showing bullying behavior.
Yeah.
Kids are picking up on that.
Yes.
I mean, they're like, okay, well, I guess if mom and dad can talk to each other, if mom can, you know, yell and cuss at dad, I mean, I can surely yell and cuss at whoever I want on the schoolyard or vice versa. So just with the marriage issue, this is a parenting podcast, but, you know, we're first and foremost a marriage ministry.
Yeah.
And we think the stronger your marriage, the stronger your parenting and your family's going to be. So we've got resources to help. Sweetie, before we go, tell us your bullying story from middle school girl world, which is a complicated time.
It is. And I'll mention that. I want to say something real quick. You were talking about parents bullying each other and kids picking up on that. I saw there's another dynamic, too, where I feel like sometimes parents bully their kids. Like, where they're a bully to their own children.
Yeah.
And sometimes this is a huge blind spot because maybe our parents bullied us and you're like, no, I'm just making you a better person. I'm just keeping you on your toes. And we end up saying these very hurtful things thinking, oh, we're making them better, but it's not. It's destroying them inside and it's being a bully. I remember seeing, it was like a meme or a picture somewhere online where it showed a kid on a playground bullying another kid, and inside the kid, it had the drawing of his father doing that to him. It was this is what was done to him and he's doing it to other kids. And it's kind of like,
yeah, that's,
sometimes bullying comes
convicting.
From being bullied yourself. And then out of that hurt, you're bullying someone else because it sometimes, again,
it's a learned behavior.
It makes you feel in control and it makes you feel bigger and better. And so we have to nip that in the bud within our own families. I want to say this. So girls, you know, we talked a lot about boys. Girls, I think when it comes to girls bullying each other, it can be through all kinds of ways. It can get physical. I mean, gosh, when I was teaching, I noticed this. I mean, literally, I was in a school that was kind of a rougher school. A lot of kids and families really suffering, you know, in poverty and just going through hard times. And I remember distinctly these girls, I guess it had a rift, and this one girl wore stiletto boots to school just so she could kick in the other girl, like with stiletto boots on. She wanted to kick at her. She was bullying this girl, and it was like the final thing.
Yeah.
And I'm just
wore weapons,
so it can get physical with girls, but I feel like most of the time it's more mental. It's more name calling.
It's a psychological
these days.
Bullying.
Yeah, the psychological.
And this was pre-internet. Now, the whole cyberbullying, we could do a series on that.
We really could.
And but monitor what your kids are doing online, and if you see them acting differently,
yes.
Find out, you know, get have access to their passwords, see what they're doing, what's being said. And
there
could be going on.
It could be not being invited and like, oh, I'm sorry you were on that text thread and you found out you weren't invited.
Yeah, just
or
clearly
you weren't in the snap. Sorry.
Letting
you saw
them
that.
Know that you're left out, making
exactly.
it seem accidental. I want you to know, I want you to feel this pain.
Yeah.
And that's really hurtful.
All right. So back in the 90s, I was in middle school. I was a cheerleader in middle school and really felt like I had a lot of friends on the cheerleading team. But I remember there was this one girl and we had been best friends in elementary school. Like at one point we were at each other's houses all the time. We lived pretty in close proximity and we'd go back and forth to each other's houses. And for some reason, fast forward to middle school, because I joined the team in seventh grade, this girl just had it out for me. I don't know why. I really don't. I can't think of anything I particularly did wrong to her. I don't know. But for whatever reason, her feelings about me shifted. And she just made it her mission to make fun of me, to keep me down. She would do things like through our phone tree, which really ages us. But a phone tree is without texting. It's how you let people
explain
know.
Explain to the young people what that even means. They're is that a Christmas tree with cell phones on it?
Okay, a phone tree is a list of numbers and you would have, it would be 20 numbers, you know, all right. the members of the cheerleading team.
And you have to call these two people.
Right.
And those two people would each call two people.
Exactly.
And they had specific people there. So everybody got called.
Everybody got called from the top down, like
if there was a message,
tree.
Like, hey, there's no practice tomorrow.
Right.
So
or
put
what
on the
uniform
phone tree.
We're wearing.
Oh, yeah, what uniform
and
we're wearing.
And this girl was ahead of me in the phone tree, and she thought, I'm going to mess with Ashley and tell her the wrong uniform to wear. We had like six different uniforms, like maroon, gold, and white or whatever, in different variations. And like everybody was wearing the maroon that day, and she told me to wear the white. And I know this sounds like, okay, silly, just wear the white and go on with your day. But as a middle schooler, you know, feeling insecure already, just in your body and just,
yeah,
you know, it's a hard time. I felt, and it literally was like out of a movie. I walk in, and I guess she had told people. I walk in the school, and she's like, hee, hee, hee. Like, literally, like it's out of Mean Girls or something. They're just pointing and laughing. And
you didn't have the kind of relationship where there was any chance this was like a playful prank.
It was not funny.
Just with her nature, the way that she had been kind of intentionally.
Well, she spread a rumor that I stuffed my bra. She spread a rumor that I was running for president of the class that year for student council. And she went around and wrote on my posters the other girl's name who was running, who was a really good friend of mine, and then told everybody I did. Or she wrote on her poster my name and said, Ashley wrote on your posters because she wants to beat you in this election or whatever. And anybody who knew me knew I wouldn't do that. But then it was like, I can't believe you would do that to your friend. And it was just all this stuff, like on and on again. And anyway, we talked to the coach of the team. We had talked to the principal of the school, and nothing was changing. And so it all came to a head when one day we're at a basketball game, we're cheering, we just did our little cheer. And this particular girl, she was a base in mounts. If those of you who know what cheerleading is, they're the people who lift people up. And
so
I happened to be.
She was a sturdy girl.
She's a really strong girl and really great cheerleader. And so she's like putting the girl up in the mount. And I'm out front just like rah-rah, you know, doing my little toe touch or whatever. And she brings the mount. The girl who's up in the mount, like the climber, doesn't know. I mean, she's trusting the bases to take her where she goes. And so this girl was the main base, and she brought the mount over to where they would have to cradle this girl. Cradling is when you come out of the mount and they put you in a cradle basket. So you're basically jumping down out of your mount, okay? And they cradled this girl on my head. Like, it could have really hurt me. And it brings me to the ground.
And it was an intentional,
in front of the whole school,
public, intentional, violent, potentially very, very harmful way to embarrass you and hurt you by dropping this kid on your head.
Yeah. And so, like, there's all these parents and kids in the audience, and they literally like, you know, and I'm like, and she's like, oh, I'm sorry, it was an accident. And my mom and I, we had been talking about this day after day. I'd cried many tears over this, because not only did I hate being bullied, but I really had loved this girl at one time as my friend.
Yeah, it's
and
hurtful.
I just thought, what is it?
And it's such a hard time anyway.
Like, it's such a hard time. So my mom gave me this look that I will never forget. And it was almost like she didn't have to say any words. It was like, you go, girl, you know what to do. You no longer the doormat, okay? It's time.
Yeah.
And so I went over to her, and she's way taller than she was. She's probably still taller than me, but I went over to her, and granted, I think it was halftime, so people were getting up, milling about. And I was like yelling her name. I yelled her name again, and I said, come here. I know you can hear me. And this is not like me, you all. Like, I literally shake. Like, when there's confrontation, my voice is shaky. I'm sweaty, and I'm like, I'm such a people pleaser by nature. And I was like, I need to talk to you. And she comes up, she goes, what? And I was like, you are a bully. And I said, you've been a bully to me. We used to be best friends. I don't know what is wrong with you, but you are not gonna do this to me again. It stops today. And I like, I'm yelling all, and I'm crying, and I'm hurt. You know,
she
had dropped the mount on me. And she literally looked at me, and at first was kind of laughing, like that mean girl laugh. And then she started crying. And then she ran away. And she never, ever bullied me again. And in high school, fast forward, I remember we were at some gathering, and I didn't cheer in high school. I was in the marching band, go band. And so anyway, she came up to me, and I think she was a cheerleader actually. And she ended up, it's funny how high school sometimes can get rid of those middle school things. And she came up to me at like sophomore year and apologized. This is like four years later, and she apologized. And she said, I am so sorry that I was such a jerk to you in middle school. She goes, we were really good friends. I don't know what happened. I was just in a weird place in my life, and I'm just really sorry. And I was like, I forgave you all those years ago, you know? And I'm like, but thank you. That really means a lot to me. And it just, I, like, looking back and now that I know what I know, she was, again, bullies. I mean, and I'm not saying this to make excuses for bullies, but it's just to keep in mind, bullies feel really insecure. They're the most insecure person in the room because they feel like they feel less than, so they're trying to make someone else feel less than, you know? And I think that's important to keep in mind. And I don't know, I think there was some stuff going on in her life that I didn't know about, and she just, I was her target, you know? But I'm telling you, again, just like with Cooper and like with my story, we have to stand up. And I do think it takes parents, you know, intervening in the way they can, but at a certain age, that can almost backfire. And I think had my mom, you know, which she did, she talked to the coach with me. We had a conference, a parent-teacher conference where I'm in the room too. And I think her parents came at one point too. And so we tried that. But I think that we do also have to instill in our kids to be their own advocates at an age-appropriate level. And I will tell you, especially for me being, you know, kind of my go-to is to be a people pleaser by nature. I always never wanted to just rock the boat. Like, I'm like, just be good with me. I can take it. It's fine. It's going to be fine. Maybe over time she'll stop. But it's like a lot of bullies, they get off on it. They won't stop till you do stop them. Like, you have to stop them and tell them it's not okay. And I believe most of the time it keeps them from bullying someone else because they're like, whoa, I didn't like that, you know?
Yeah. And that's why you do have to, one of the reasons why you do have to stand up to a bully.
Yes.
Because it's not only protecting you, but it's protecting everybody that's going to come
exactly.
after you. Because
exactly.
left unchecked, a bully is going to keep escalating and they're going to keep hurting more people in bigger ways.
And it's not only good for you and those subsequent people that might be bullied, but it's good for the bully.
It is. It really is.
I mean, it helps the bully
in their life. It helps the bully. Like, the worst thing you can do is enable that kind of toxic behavior. Mm-hmm. So, guys, I hope that's been helpful. Write us with your thoughts. We always love hearing from you. We're on Instagram at Dave and Ashley Willis. Do us a favor and share this episode. I promise you there are people out there that need to hear more on this topic. Before we wrap up, though, a fun fact from Ashley and a terrible dad joke from Dave.
All right. So this one, again, is from factretriever.com. I thought this was just kind of funny. And of the times of the day, I guess. It said, in 1962, an American pediatrician warned that hugging and cuddling a child, and so this must have been published, okay? This is something that was published in, like, you know, pediatric newspapers, you know, book or something. It said, an American pediatrician warned that hugging and cuddling a child could turn him or her into a socialist. Like, keep those hugs away. They're going to turn into a socialist.
Oh, my goodness.
That's so sad, though. Those poor kids.
Yeah.
Some people might have taken that to heart, not hugged their kids.
Yeah. And then, yeah.
Well, and then there's issues that come along with that. So,
yeah, I know. Yeah. I give a lot of political jokes. Okay. All right. Here's a dad joke that's non-political. Did you know that Albert Einstein, who was an absolute genius, had a brother who was considered a real monster?
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah, his name was Frank Einstein.
Oh, Frankenstein. Right? Is that what you mean?
Is that, if you have to ask that, I mean, I told you, it was bad. I need you all to write me
Einstein.
Some new jokes. So go to Instagram.
Wow.
Send me some new dad jokes. I'm running out of material.
I liked that one. That was good.
Frankenstein. Okay.
Yeah.
Hey, thanks for tuning in. We love and appreciate you guys. We'll see you next time on Parenting Uncovered.
Bye, guys.